Okay, everybody said this week's Parasha Shemos. Let's begin with the beginning of the parasha. The parasha begins. It's a new book. Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael ash haboim mitzroima eis Yaakov ish uve soibo. We go to the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. They increased poru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'moid moid vatimole haritzai son. Now, Vayoko melech chodosh al mitzroim asher lo yoda es Yosef. A new melech comes to power. And this melech, all we know about him is one thing. Asher lo yoda es Yosef. He did not know Yosef. Remember, we spent a lot of time discussing the word yoda. Yoda means to love. V'odam yoda es chave ishtoi. Asher yidativ. Ki yitzav es bonov achlev lishmar derech Hashem gesuntai. The word yoda can often mean the word love. He did not know of him. Day of knowledge. He did not want to know of him. And vayoyimer elamo hineyam b'nei Yisrael rav yotzum menu hovan ischak moloi. Let's, thank you very, very much for the coffee. Thank you very much. Hovan ischak moloi pen yirbe. Let's become wise and let's now come up with a plan, a solution to deal with the issues that we have. Yeah, exactly. It's really what it was.
It was very incredible. How could he not know Yosef?
Oh, how could he not know Yosef? Rav Shmuel, Machloikis, Chad Amar, Chodosh Mamesh, Chad Amar, Shneschad Shu Gizei Roisef. Okay, I have a safer in my bag over here. I got an enormous amount of this safer. You never know what's good. Buy a safer. My father was telling me, don't buy a safer unless someone recommends it. You don't know what's good. So this safer actually was not recommended. I took a chance on it. I've gained from this safer. I can't tell you how much I've gained from this. It's called Ginzei Nistaris. Okay? Okay, by Moshe Zomer. Who is Moshe Zomer? I have no idea. No idea who this person is. Yes, I'm sure he has some Choshva Haskamas. Does he have any Choshva Haskamas? I didn't pay attention. No, actually, no Haskamas. Can you believe it? Today, a save with no Haskamas? It's almost impossible. Modern, but he's so yeshivish. The Sprach he writes, you see. You can definitely feel the Yirah Shemayim that comes out of the Sefer. There's no question about it. And what's very unique about the Sefer is he's not afraid. He's original. He says a lot of original things. Firstly, he says a lot of things are not even his own. A lot of I think probably why he has no Haskama is because I think he feels he's just a Likut. He's telling you things that you're not going to find in other Sfarim, things that he dug up other places, so he doesn't need Haskama for that. But in the process, he says plenty of his own chidushim. Now, I'm telling you now is not exactly not what he says, but there's no question that the foundation, the yisoidos of what I'm telling you, and a lot of the things I'm telling you today are all here. Not saying because the way he uses it is not really relevant for what I want to say. But again, the foundation is here in this sefer Ginzei Nistaros Ha'omer Davishim Amar Mevi Gul Le'olam. The roots are here. Now, he says as follows. I'll tell you what he said, I'll tell you how I want to elaborate. I'll tell you. And I'm not even sure if it's what he's saying or he's quoting someone. I don't care, remember all the details. Who is this Melech Chodosh al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef? So he quotes the Pasuk and he says something, a Chazal, and I don't exactly know what this means for sure. Yosef came to power on the day of Yoim Huledes Es Para. Para, we are taught as children that there was a birthday party. Happy birthday to Para. There was a celebration, a day off from work. It was a birthday party, like Martin Luther King's coming up soon.
I always said that the truck for that should be happy birthday to
It was Paro's, it was birthday. Now the truth is, now I don't know if this is correct. I don't want to be so ignorant, the grammar, but what he appears to say is, I don't know the grammar, I don't understand how this works. Yoim Huledes as Paro, we translate the day that Paro was born. Grammatically speaking, you have to ask a baki to figure out and analyze the word in all of its nuances. It also is interpreted by some of the commentators, if this is correct, is the day when it was born to Paro a child. We are only taught one shot. It was his birthday party. Happy birthday. Others say, no, Yom Huledes, there are other words the Torah could have used to describe his birthday. There are better words. Huledes is something a little bit bizarre. And why would Paro make a birthday party? In ancient times, is there even a record that they celebrated birthdays?
Kings?
Kings? birthdays, the day they were born, the day they came to power. By the way, some of the commentators say Yom Hulidus is power of that, I know for sure, means the day, it was the anniversary of his Malchus. The day when he came to power. Doesn't mean the day that he was physically born.
What calendar do they use?
I don't know. Exactly. Another question.
Like in Shaul, Ben Shana, Shaul Ben Ocho.
So what does that mean there?
Ben Shana, he was not 1 year old.
What does it mean?
That first year.
So what it's a question in general, did they observe birthday parties, make birthday parties? And if they did they celebrate their birth or did they celebrate them? And that's for sure, I remember learning clearly, is that some of the commentators learned Yom Huledes es Paro means the day, the anniversary of Paro's
election.
Ascension, what's
coronation.
It called? Coronation. But he has here another pshat. Yom Huledes es Paro was, he made a party when he had a child. An heir was born to the king. It was born to Paro, a baby. His wife gave birth. That means Paro now has an heir. There will be an heir to the throne.
Crown prince.
The crown prince was born. The Vayokam Melech Chodosh Al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef is the baby that was born Yoim Huledes Es Paro. That's very powerful, such a concept, such an idea, because Yosef only came to power because of this party. And this party, according to this interpretation, if it is correct, if the grammar works, which I don't know the grammar, I can't figure out the nuance of if you really can translate the word Huledes to mean the day when it was born to power a child, if that is correct, Yosef only came to power because Paro's wife gave birth to a baby. And they made a party. And he was in a good mood. And in the good mood, he went, opened up the prisons, and invited all the criminals. And he had them parade in front of him, and he went, and some of them he released, some of them he gave back their job, and some he executed. And in that story, Yosef was mentioned. Yoim Huledes es Paro. Paro, the dreams of the Sar Hamashkim and the Sar Oifim were correct. And this is what put into motion what would happen 2 years from now, years from now, 2 years from now, this event, when Paro would have the dream, and he could not interpret the dream, and then what happened on that birthday party, that birthday, on that day when he made that party, the whole story came about. So it comes out, this, the old Paro who made the party died. And now, the crown prince became the king. The crown prince was the very trigger of Yosef becoming the Mishnah LeMelech. Changed everything now. It's because of this fellow, this Mishnah LeMelech, that Yosef is in power. Thus, the relationship is very different. The old Paro, okay, the old Paro, was indebted to Yosef. Yosef, I had a very great tzara. I had a dream. I was going out of my mind. You came to the rescue. You came to the rescue. And then the economy would have been in shambles. And you were a brilliant brilliant mind, you figured out an economist, you were a brilliant economist, you figured out exactly what to do, how to do it, and you brought the country enormous wealth and success. Yosef, I owe you everything. I owe you everything I could possibly have. There's no way in the world I can be kofi toif to you. He dies. Who comes into power? His son, the crown prince. The crown prince looks at Yosef and says, Yosef, the only reason why you're in power, because when he died, the only reason why Yosef ever came to power is because of me. I was born. And when I was born, my dad made a party. And at that party, the Tsar Hamashkim was given his drawback. And because he was given his drawback, he recommended Yosef to interpret the dream. So, Yosef, who owes who something? Do I owe you anything or do you owe me something? You owe me something. The whole relationship was turned on its upside down. If the one, the Yaakov Melech Chadash, Asher Lo Yad, Stam Azoy, Paro retired, they had an election. Did it go down to the Yerusha? Maybe yeah, maybe not. We don't know exactly how these things work. Maybe we do. And now there's a new. So the new Paro has anything to do with Yosef? Garnished. Yosef was a good guy. He helped the economy. So you should continue doing what you're doing, whatever the country was doing until now. That should be good to the Jews. But when you learn, when you come to the understanding that the Yaakov Melech Chodosh Asher Lo Yod Es Yosef, the Melech Chodosh, who was the Melech Chodosh? He was the one who was born to Paro on that day, Yom Huledes Es Paro. If we will take the liberty to translate these words in a very unusual way, it doesn't mean that Paro made a birthday party, happy birthday. It does not mean that Paro was celebrating the anniversary of the day that he became the king, but we learn a very unique, rare translation of the words, Yom Huledes, on the day when it was born to Paro, a child, Yulad. There was a real birth, a birth to Paro, and there was a great celebration, like in England today, when Harry or William has a child. What's the first item of news all over the entire world? They had when William they got married, they had a baby. That's it. That dominated the news. That's what it's all about. There's been an heir, a child has been born to the crown prince, v'chulu v'chulu. Okay, we can relate to that today very, very well. And so now this child says, this crown prince, this is Yosef. I'm the one that was born. I was the child that was born, for which my father made a party. And because of me, only because I was born, you got a job. And don't just because you were very successful and you brought a lot of wealth to success. Excuse me, bow down to me. It's only because of me you are where you are now. I didn't have a problem. I didn't have nightmares. It wasn't under my tenure when there was a famine. It's none of my business. What happened then happened then. All I know is you only exist because of me. And therefore, have respect for me. Asher lo yoda es Yosef. I don't know who you are. You know who I am. I don't know who, because the relationship was turned upside down according to that yidia. Okay, that's one prat. Now let's go to another idea. Part B. This is not even related. This. Asher lo yoda es Yosef. This is what he really says. This is what he says instead of Asher lo yoda. Let me tell you what he says. Asher lo yoda es Yosef. What do you mean he know Yosef? Who does know Yosef? So the answer is, that wasn't his name. His name was Tzofnas Paneach. Paro changed Yosef to Tzofnas Paneach. Yosef was the name of a slave in a dungeon by Potiphar. He was a slave. And there he did what he did. And then Paro discovered him. Someone in the country that has some talent, knows what he's doing. And he was changed into Tzofnas Paneach. So when this new Paro came to power and he looks at this person, he sees this fellow, Tzofnas Paneach, and he sees that he's very powerful, very successful. You're a threat to me. You're a threat. You and your people who you represent, your brothers and your whole family, you're a threat to me. Oh, but you, Tzofnas Paneach is Yosef. Yosef was a slave. He was in the dungeon. He interpreted Paro's dreams. He brought great success to the economy. I was born long after Yosef. I didn't see Yosef. I grew up and I saw what Yosef did to the country, how he brought success, and in the process, who was the one that brought success to the country? Yosef. Not Tzofnas Paneach. It was Yosef who interpreted the dreams. It was Yosef who gave advice to Paro how to run the economy. And after Yosef finished his mission of giving advice and interpreting the dreams, then the name was changed to Tzofnas Paneach. So Paro, the old Paro, Paro Senior, knew Yosef and knew Tzofnas Paneach. He couldn't forget about Yosef. all the chassadim that he did because he lived through it. But the new generation of Goyim, they have no Messiah. They don't care about the past. You go want to study history. Our ancestors were monkeys. They were donkeys. They lived in caves. They didn't have smartphones. They wrote on tablets. They didn't know what an iPhone is. Come on. These are weak. These were weaklings. These are people who we have no respect for. We're not going to study the history. We know one thing. We have in front of us a man that's too powerful. His name is Sofnas Paneach. He rules the country. He's in charge. Everyone bows down to him. He's a threat to me. The old Paro Sr., he lived through a generation of Yosef. And he also saw the success of Tzofnas Paneach. The new Paro Jr., he never saw Yosef. So just because you don't know Yosef, study. Go to the library, go to college, take a course, learn history. Don't they tell you history repeats itself? It's what to learn from history. Yeah. I know what it says in the books, but the bottom line is that we have no respect for our ancestors. Sefer Shemois begins with an incredible limud Musa. Sefer Shemois begins with that. Vo'avdil eschem mikol ha'amim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is coming to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim because you are a nation who appreciates where you come from. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Nira Eli. When Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, in whose voice did Hashem appear to him? Who is the voiceover? Okay? Whose voice? In the voice of Amram, of your father. And what did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare? Hashem said to the snare, Al tikrav al shalne lechem yal raglecha. What voice did Moshe Rabbeinu hear? The same voice on the GPS? You ever go on, go later on and go say, hey Google, I don't like your voice. So it changes voice. Okay? Try that on your smartphone later on. Google Assistant. Hey, so here's it. Okay, I have now a different voice. Do you like this voice better? Try that on Google. Hey Google. Whose voice? Whose voice did Hashem speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in? In the voice of his father, the Tata. And what does Hashem say to him? I'm the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You are going to redeem a nation whose essence is built upon Mesorah, heritage, tradition. Not like these losers that you're living with here in this Egypt. I know who Tzofnas Paneach is. But I don't know Yosef. Because I'm from the new generation. When I was born, when I grew up, he was already Tzofnas Paneach. I didn't live through the time, that part of life, part of history, when you were Yosef and what you did for the country and did all of these things. Don't confuse me with the facts, with the history. I'm living in the present. The past is garbage. This is the Mahus of the Umay Soilam. This is the backdrop. This pasuk, Vayoka Melchodesh Alam Shalla Yoda Es Yosef, is the backdrop for the entire Sefer Shemos. The creation of a nation and their Torah, which is built upon one Yisoid. And the Yisoid is Asher Yoda Es Yosef. Even though you didn't live in his generation, you didn't know what happened, you didn't live through it, learn what happened. And live it, experience it. Chayv adam laharois esatzma kilu yotza mimitraim. Relive the experience. It's not the past, it's the present as well. Now, that's point number two. He doesn't say all that either, but the Yisoid comes from the Sefer. Ginzein the stars. Now, point number three, I want to build upon that and say another idea. Yosef is famous for one line. He says to his brothers, Ani Yosef, ha'oyra v'chai? ani Yosef achichem asher mechartem oisi mitzroima v'ata al te'otzvu. Don't be sad v'al al te'otzvu v'al yichar bi'abchem ki l'michya shelochani Elohim. Hashem sent me here to sustain you. There's a reason why this happened. This conversation was all introduced with the words, Ani Yosef. Ha'oir avichem chai. Is our father alive? The same principle going back to the past. Avichem chai. Let's go back to where we come from. I've been sent here for a reason. This paro, he knew one thing. I know who Tzofnas Paneach is. I know where the money is. I know where success is. Asher lo yoda es Yosef. He did not want to know or did not know, appreciate the religious perspective of life. The ultimate religious perspective of life is when Yosef said to his brothers, don't be upset that you sold me and all this happened. There's a reason why all of this happened. Ki l'michya shelochani Elohim lifneichem. There is a Ribbono shel Olam that is running the world and is pulling the strings and are bringing things, are causing things to happen for a purpose. For a purpose. This paro did not come to shul on Parshas Vayigash. He didn't come to shul. He never heard or did not want to learn of Van Yosef. Doesn't mean he knew who Yosef was. What do you know Yosef was? He didn't know or want to know the sugya of Ani Yosef. Ha'oir avichem chai. The mussar of Yosef. Is my father still alive? You tortured our father by selling me as a slave? Could it possibly be after all the Agmas Nefesh, he's still alive? Yosef who gave mussar. And Yosef who goes on to say, Ani Yosef. Asher mechart mosim mitzrayim ba viato al te'atzu val yichalchem ki l'michyo shulchan yelkim lefneichem. There's a reason why this happened. There's a religious perspective to why things happen in this world. This paro, don't give me a course in religion. Give me a course in economics. Give me a course in kavod, in power. Religion? There's no religion here. He knew who Yosef was. He knew who Tzofas Paneach was. But he did not know the religion. And the word Yosef here, we're suggesting, is a code word for Asher lo yoda es Yosef, means a code word. Asher lo yoda, the principles of Ani Yosef. Ha'oir avichai. Ani Yosef. A paro that did not learn a mesilas yesharim. The word Yosef is the code word, is the equivalent of mesilas yesharim, chavis levavos, tamer devara, derech Hashem, shari tshuva. Asher lo yoda es Yosef, pagan, or whatever you want to call himself, an idol. He made himself into an idol.
I heard the pshat that it means that here was Yosef who had such a tremendous contribution to everything about Egypt, and he completely rejected it. And this was done with the rise of Hitler. They completely rejected everything, all the tremendous contributions of what the Jewish people did in the government and in the army. And
that's the Potem shot. That's the Potem shot.
Yeah.
That's the Potem shot.
I'm saying very, very passionate. And what does Aparo say? He says, the Jews are going to unite with our enemies. And that was what Hitler said.
Right. Mm-hmm. The parallels are uncanny. Yeah. That's Pasha. But that's the Pasha shot.
Right.
We want to say over here some Jewish, the Jewish is Yosef and not Tzofnas Paneach. Yosef, or version, the second idea is Yosef is a code word for Mesilas Yesharim. Because when he says Yosef, Yosef means Ani Yosef. The word Yosef is a code word for those two psukim where he says Ani Yosef, Ani Yosef. And he taught the world the most powerful religious concepts with those two psukim. This paro says, I don't want to hear religion. I don't know from religion. When you don't know from religion, there's nothing that's going to hold you back from committing genocide. Okay, that's the three ideas, three yesoidos of the words Melech Chodosh. Melech Chodosh, either the first yesoid is that the Melech Chodosh is the child that was born on that day of Yom Huledes Esparo. And he had gaiva because it's only because of me you're in position. Number two, Ani Goyos Yosef, I don't want to learn from history. I don't care about the past. I know Sofnas Paneach. I don't know what Yosef did for us. I don't care about it. I only know Sofnas Paneach. And therefore, get lost. They're rejecting the past. That's the Hakdama, the backdrop. Hashem says, this I'm not going to tolerate in this world. I need a nation who appreciates the past. And that's Klal Yisrael. And the third interpretation is Yosef is a code word for Musur. Limud HaMusur. Ani Yosef is, Yosef did not remember the principle of Ani Yosef. Okay, now let's go to another idea. We come now to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, he cites over here what's called from the Anshei Emes, a sefer called the, I think it's called the Anshei Emes. I'm going to tell you it's not exactly what it says there, but it's built upon this principle of the Anshei Emes. I think the Kadmoinim, maybe it could be even the early Achreinim, maybe even the Rishonim, I'm not sure. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was born, and they put him into a teva, and they sent him out into the Nile to who knows what. Here we go. Vayelech ish reveis leva yikachas vas leva atar ish of telebein. The next, lo yochl ot ha'atz pino, they made a teva, and it says here, vatosem bo es hayeled, they put Moshe in this box, vatosem basuf al svas hayar, and they sent it off with a drone, Amazon drone, into the yar. Right? They sent it off, the teva, the box, al hayar. His sister Miriam was watching from far. Okay. She sent her arm to get it, or her maidservant. She saw a child. Lo and behold, Na'ar Boiche. What does that mean? Who was crying? Who was crying? What have we been taught in kindergarten?
Moshe.
Who was Moshe? It's difficult. Why is it difficult? Why does it say a Na'ar Boiche? Moshe was only 3 months old. So why is he called a Na'ar? Va'tiftach, she opened the box. Va'tir eus hayeled. She saw yeled. A yeled is an infant. She saw a 3-month-old baby. Vihine, nar. No, it's not a nar. It's a yeled. A yeled is not a nar. Nar boiche, crying. Va'tachma lo va'toymer miyaldehu ivrim ze. It says here in this sefer, a pile poem, what it says. Not everyone agrees with Rashi. Rashi, our Rebbe. Rabban shall call you, show that Nar Boiche means Moshe Rabbeinu, because it says Nar is a difficulty. V'hine Nar Boiche is going on Aroin HaKoyhein. Just like Miriam, Vateisatza Vachoso Merichok Lideyam Maye Oselo, Miriam was far, what's going to be? Miriam was already an adult. She's a much older. She can't, she'll get caught, she'll be in a lot of trouble. But she said to her brother Aaron, Aaron, Arola, come here, Arola. You're a little kid. You can go play. You go and watch the box. Make sure nothing happens. And no one's gonna suspect that it's a Jew, it's your brother, because you're just a kid. If I go out there and see the box, Miriam, who is Miriam? She was the chief RN. Registered nurse. She was in charge of the Mialdois. If she's caught tending a Jewish child, she's finished. You're a kid, a little kid playing in the street. She's Aaron, Arula, go protect your brother. Aaron goes out there. This is what it says in the Sefer, Anshei, what it says in the Masorah, such a pshat. And Aaron sees the baby is going in the water. Aaron was 3 years old at this time. And according to this interpretation, when you're 3 years old, you're called a nar. You can be called a nar. A yelid is an infant, but a nar, 3 years old, you're already called a nar. Mm-hmm. And Aaron sees the baby going down the Nile. And it sees Bas Paro. And Aaron cries. Aaron cries. V'hine v'atiftach, she opens up the box. Period. Look at that, a nice little baby. Moshe was not crying. Moshe had in his hands a Schottenstein Shas. He had a smartphone. He was on the app, the DAF, the OU. He was listening to a DAF Yom Yashir in the box. Moshe was not crying. Who's crying? Aaron was crying. Vihine opens up the box. Look at that, Moshe Rabbeinu in the box. Wait a minute, Vihine. She turns around. She sees from the corner, Arula. Vihine, Nahar Boiche. What are you crying about? What is a three-year-old child crying about this kid? We've murdered today only a million people today. What is he crying about? Vatachmol alav. She had Rachmanis on who?
Aaron.
On Aaron. Not on Moshe. That toy man, she said, this baby in the box is a Jew. Because only by Jews does one brother cry for another. If this is a goy, this was the day when Paro made a gezerah, every child in the country, even the Egyptian children, have to be killed. Every firstborn,
every man on that day.
Every child born on that day has to be killed on that day. Even the Egyptians. No one's crying. All the big brothers are not crying. All the big brothers are taking their infant baby, they're throwing him into the Nile, they're killing them. Because today, the astrologers told them that today the Moshiach is being born, and we don't know if it'll be a Jew or a non-Jew. So everyone has to die. No one's crying. No tears being shed for the death of infant babies on this day, except for this one little kid by the name of Arula, who has his name tag on him, and he's crying over this box. And in the box, there's an unidentified child, which I have no way of knowing is a Jew or a non-Jew. How can I tell? Jew, non-Jew? I know. Jew, non-Jew? How do I know? It must be, it's a Jew. Because if this kid is crying, it must be Miyalde Hu'ivrim Zeh. Because only by Jews does one Jew cry for another. Is that an amazing shot? It's not exactly what it says here. I think I expanded a little bit more, but I want to go weiter. Now this is a little bit, not so straight I don't know if you'll agree with this, and that's why I'm telling it to you, because we want to get some reaction. Moshe Rabbeinu later on says, when Hashem says, Moshe, I'm recruiting you for the job. I'm recruiting you. You're going to be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. Moshe says, Shlach no biatishlach. Thank you, but no thank you. There are better people qualified for the job. Shlachna biatishlach. Who is the shlachna biatishlach? So the Medrash says, Elio Hanavi, Mashiach. If this is not going to be the final geula, I'm not interested. Other mefarshim say, it says this in the Medrash or the Rishonim, Aroin. Moshe said it himself, this is in the Pasuk. Shalachna biad mi shirogil. the person who was accustomed to leading them. I've been out of the country for how many years? For 40 years, whatever it was. Moshe was a fugitive. He ran away. Who was leading? Who was serving in the role of the leader of Klal Yisrael? Aaron HaKoyen. He is the one who is accustomed to leading and guiding. Let Aaron, my brother, be the Moshion Shel Yisrael. I want to, and he says in this term, Shlach No Biatishlach. Let me actually see the quote, Rashi. Okay, let's go to the Rashi of Shlach No Biad Tishlach.
Dalid
Yud Gimel. Vayem Biadoni. Shlach No Biad Tishlach. Rashi. What does Rashi say? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Biad Mishato Rogil Lishloyach. Vehu Aroin. Okay, Beferish. Davar Acher. Biad Acher Shetirtzel Lishloyach. Okay, then he goes on to the Shafar. Now, wait a minute. Why is Aaron called the Tishlach? The Tishlach. What does Tishlach literally mean? The one to send away. Who was the one who sent me away when I was 3 months old? Aaron. V'hine nahar boiche. There's a nar that's crying, Aaron. Aaron saw me sent away. Aaron was given, according to that interpretation, Miriam gave the box to Aaron and said to Aaron, here's the box, you go to the Nile, send him away. According to the interpretation, it was Aaron that put Moshe in the water. Miriam put Moshe in the box, and Miriam said to Aaron, take the box, go to Tishlach and send him away. Shlachno biyad Tishlach. Rashi, Aaron. Rashi Alder Pshat says, biyad mi shata rogil. He doesn't even explain. Biyad mi shata rogil lish loyach. To send to be a messenger for Klal Yisrael, to be their ambassador. But I want to build upon what it says here. Don't, not just the one who generally is the representative, who is the ambassador. The one who literally, shlach na biyad tishlach, the one that sent me away. Miriam gave him tishlach, send him out. Aaron is called the tishlach. Now here's what I'm saying, a little bit controversial. Someone told me about this. This principle kibbutz doesn't exist today. This concept, because we live in a different generation. We live in a new generation. Someone told me about their Rebbe, Rosh Hashiva, a very distinguished European Rosh Hashiva. He went to visit him in the summer in the mountains, and it was 100 degrees, literally, in the Catskills where they were there. And the Talmud, 18-year-old, well, probably a 20-year-old, he calls him up, Rebbe, I want to come visit you. Yeah, please, come. He comes, he knocks on the door, and the Rebbe says, please wait a moment. I'm not dressed. And the Rebbe, whatever he does, and the boy comes in, the Rebbe's dressed in his kapota, like a football player. 9 yards, full, the big day shmoina. Okay, the big old guy. And the Rebbe just said to him, you know, I know it's 100 degrees. I want to teach you something. It's 100 degrees. I'm schwitzing my head off. But you come to visit me as a Rebbe comes to a Talmud. As a Talmud comes to a Rebbe, I have to put on my kapota. Because a Talmud cannot see his Rebbe not wearing his kapota. It makes a roshah. Now, this to us in this generation sounds like you need to be put into an institution for, you know, you're totally crazy to say such a thing. But it's very true. In the previous generations, when there was a real Rebbe and a real Talmud, today, you know, the Rebbe doesn't take you to a baseball game and put his hand around you, then they're going to fire the Rebbe the next, because he's not with it. He's not with the kids today. That's his new, Nayudar, it's a new generation. But in the olden days, a Rebbe was a Rebbe, a Talmud was a Talmud, and there's a dignity, and the Talmud has to appreciate what a Rebbe is, and that means you have to see the Rebbe as a Rebbe. If you see the Rebbe in his underwear, you go swimming with the Rebbe, then you lose respect. And even when the Rebbe is later wearing his Big Day Shemoyna, you know, I saw you in your underwear. I know what you look like. I went to the mikveh with you. It's not the same. There's a halacha. You're not allowed to go to the mikveh with your rabbi. You're not allowed to go to the mikveh with your father. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Who cares? You're in the mikveh. What's the big deal? It is a big deal because it's not just that moment. It's the repercussions. Repercussions of what happens. In your mind, you have a new tzura. It dampens. It weakens. It takes away. Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to say a chiddush. I don't know if this, you can even say such a thing. That's why I like to say controversial things here. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ribbono Shel Olam, you want me to be the Mashiach Shel Yisrael? I can't do it alone. I need a partner. I need the Medaber. Aaron Achicha Yehiyeh Nevi'echa. Aaron, if I'm going to be the leader, I'm going to be the one in charge, and Aaron's going to be the Mishnah LeMelech, it'll never work. You know why? Aaron cannot have respect for me. It's just not possible in the physical world because Aaron Avinu was the one who sent me away. Aaron Avinu, he went through the effort, he was instructed by Miriam, take your brother in a box, put him in the Nile, and send him. He cried, but he lived through the experience. Bye-bye, you're gone. You're out of here. You're gone. It's a miracle he came back. Just because the miracle happened that he came back, the damage is done. The respect of being a leader, cannot be undone. Aaron sent me away. He was the tishlach. He lives with this guilt his whole life. His whole life he lived with this guilt. I was the one that was mishalech you. I put you in the box, sent you away. I cried. Now, which in his mind, the depth of your mind is, you're gone. I'm now in charge. And now, my younger brother, who I pushed away, is now going to lord over me? It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. It can't work. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu, the depth, shalach no biyat tishlach, ribbono shel olam, this cannot work. Forget about respect. It's better about he's my older brother and he's better and you're accustomed to. It's just, that's the reality. When you need loyalty. Anyone, you read all the stories of the leadership, there's always a clean house. Okay, every time I do it, look at the United States of America. When the president of the United States comes into power, a new president, what is the first thing? Clean house. There's a new cabinet, there are new secretaries. There's literally nothing the same. Nothing. They clean out the place spick and span. Maybe there's one guy they'll keep around because they need him for a couple of months. They'll keep around until they push him out also. Because what do you need in power, in government? Loyalty. Loyalty. A new regime comes in, there's a new leader. The new leader, if the old, that you see people, you see this in the institutions. When a new group of balabatim come in to an institution, the first thing is everyone has to go. All the people that are working here, I gotta go. Because we have to hire the people. Because if we'll hire the people, they'll be loyal to us. If we're not gonna hire them and they're stayovers from a previous administration, They're making litzanis of us. They have no loyalty to us. They're undermining us behind the scenes. Moshe says, if I am the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, I have to have power. I need to call the shots. And to call the shots, I need loyalty. Aaron's going to be my deputy. He cannot be loyal to me. Because, not just because he's older than me. That's a halbatzara. Not just because Aaron, until now, was serving in that role of leadership. That's another problem. But you know what the biggest problem is? In the mind of Aaron, I don't exist. Because Aaron was the one who took me and put me into the Nile. It wasn't his fault. And I love him for it. And it was that, and Aaron was crying bitter tears. But that's the reality. And that reality has damaged his ability to look up to me as being the authority of Klal Yisrael. And authority demands loyalty. 100% with no sveikus. Shlachna biad tishlach. the one who sent me away. That one word, Tishlach, explains to you, Hashem, everything. And yet Hashem says, very good, I'll give you a PhD for what you just said, but it'll still work. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Don't worry. It's okay. It's still going to work. Klal Yisrael, maybe that's also a lesson, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, don't let the power get to your head. Maybe that's part of Hashem's response. Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not running here General Mills. Okay, we're not running here Tesla. You're not going to be the CEO of Tesla or Amazon. This is Klal Yisrael. And in Klal Yisrael, Adarab, I don't want you to have too much power. Maybe that's what Hashem's response was. Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe you go a little weiter. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Baruch Shalom, if I'm going to be the leader, I need to be in charge. Full power, and the one that pushed me out cannot be working for me. So Hashem says, Moshe, this is not Amazon. This is not eBay. This is not a corporate America. This is Klal Yisrael. And in Klal Yisrael, the Moshiach Shel Yisrael does not, that's right. That's right. There'll be a Kupa Shel Sherotzim upon your head. That's right. Let Aaron look down upon you. Because the power of being the Moshiach Shel Yisrael is not meant to be like a CEO in corporate America. Hagufa. There's a whole dialogue taking place here between Moshe and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, let me tell you one more vart. This vart is a very, very interesting vart. Hashem says there's a Rashi here that if you ignore this Rashi, you're ignoring the whole history of Klal Yisrael. A whole incredible, incredible Rashi. Two words which everyone just totally blows over, just reads all the words over, and it's just shocking what it says here in this Rashi. Hashem tries to recruit Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, "Nu Moshe, I'm going to take you out of, you're going to be the leader, and the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Ta'avdunes Elokim Alohorazeh." Okay, there's going to be Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'zeh l'cha l'ois ki anochi shlachticha. I don't know, I hope we can find the Rashi here. V'satzliach b'shluchus v'ni Rashi u'chidai ani l'hatzil k'asher Yitzias Sneh, like the Sneh, okay. Ushaalta, I'm reading over the Rashi. Yeah, I got the Rashi. It's on page 156 in the article. It's on Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis. Paragimel Pasuk Yud Beis. These words of Rashi are shocking and mind-boggling. We're about to learn now. Don't worry. I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to take you out of Egypt, and you're going to serve Hashem al Hohor Hazeh. Rashi says, L'soif, at the end of Shiloisho Chodoshim Sheyetsu Mimitzrayim. You will receive the Torah at the end of 3 months from leaving Egypt. Now, what does it say over here in the Sifzei Zekeinim? The Sifzei Zekeinim says, what? 3 months? How many days are there in 3 months? 90 days, right? If you'll say it's a Chodesh Choser, so we'll go down from 90 days to 87, 88. We'll go down to 88 days. If it's Chodesh Mole, it's 30. Chodesh Choser, 90 days. Excuse me, when was Matan Torah? How many days after the Exodus was Matan Torah?
7 weeks.
How many days? 50 or 51. Either 50 or 51, right? 50, 51 days. Mm-hmm. So Hashem says, Moshe, you're going to take the people out of Egypt, and the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to give them, they're going to serve Hashem on this mountain. In the Torah, it does not say how many days. Maybe in a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. Ultimately, historically, when did it take place? We know as a fact, it took place 50 or 51 days after Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what in the world is Rashi saying? That Hashem says to Moshe, you're going to serve Hashem on the mountain. Rashi, no one asked Rashi to say this. No one asked him to say this. L'soif, at the end of Sheloisha Chodoshim Sheyetsu Mimitzrayim, in 90 days, you're going to leave Egypt, and 90 days after Egypt, you're going to serve Hashem. I'm going to give you the Torah. What? 90 days? Rashi, you don't have to say anything because the Torah Pasuk doesn't say anything. And if you want to tell us what really happened, in hindsight, it's 2020, it happened, Gesundheit, it happened. How many? It happened 50 days. So the Sifsei Chachomim, he asked this question. Oh, hey, what's going on over here? So he drays, what? He asks this question. So maybe it means from the time of the Makos, right? No, this much longer. It was much longer than 90 days from the time of the Makos. Hello, you as a Makos bin Tayim. Why you yosem me asar chadash? More than 10 months, not 3 months. You have me yitzis mitzrayim. Hurry, gam shnei chadashim lo. It was only 50. It wasn't even 60 days. V'yeshloimar. So he says an answer. You have no choice. He has an answer. The kamar al toyer shabal peh. Okay, then he gives one answer which I don't want to explain on our time. The second answer is a very simple answer. The second answer, the main answer, Bachoidesh Hashlishi. Bachoidesh Hashlishi, let's say Sbinay Somiarit, Shabayamazel Bohol Bidbar Sinai. When was Matan Torah? Sivan. Nisan Iyar. Sivan, the third month of Rashi, who is the world-renowned expert on grammar. And Rashi should then say, B'chodesh Hashalishi. Rashi says, L'soif Shaloitsha Chodoshim. So Rashi should then say, B'chodesh Hashalishi. And Rashi knew how to write because Rashi is the world-renowned expert on grammar. Knew even the biggest experts on grammar make mistakes sometimes. That's really what he's saying. Okay, that's really what he's saying, the citizens of Canaan. Haloi Dovah? Okay? The Kasha is as good as it gets. What did Rashi really say? Okay, the Sivze is a Canaan. He struggles. Now, I have an answer for you. An answer that's a good answer. I think it's a good answer. We have discussed the answer. It says in the Pasuk, Ki b'chipozoin yotzasa me'eretz Mitzrayim. What does it mean to keep your chipazon? V'lo yachlu hismameya. In a rush, put on your shoes, eat, have your walking stick in your hand when you eat the Karban Pesach. Don't let the dough rise. Put the dough in the oven. Let it turn into matzah. Don't let the dough rise. Don't not giving you time. Get out of here now. We typically translate the word keep your chipazon. It started on the morning. The whole era, the episode of keep your chipazon is when? Is the morning of the 15th. The 15th day of Nisan, they were told to get out now. Don't even let your dough rise. Once they left and they were out of the boundaries of Egypt, now we can take a breather. Out. We made it. We're out of here. Relax. Now we can have chametz. According to many mepharshim, the chametz was in the 7 days, only the next year. Chametz. The chipazoin is over. That's the pshutoy shel mikra. I want to suggest, based upon this Rashi here, they were speeding to get to that mountain. If you've built, it says on ways. The GPS, it takes you 90 days to get from Egypt to Mount Sinai. Go 60 miles an hour, stop at the red lights, wait for the children to cross, tight. When the train comes, wait for the train to go by, follow the traffic rules. And if you follow the traffic rules, it takes 90 days to get to Mount Sinai. Why did they leave Egypt only after 210 years when Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, your children are going to be here for 400 years? So what did Chazal say? They were sinking so quickly. Their spiritual decay was accelerating at such a rate, if we would wait for 400 years, there would be nothing left. Halavai, they could have held out for 400 years. If they would have held out for 400 years, Mashiach would have come long ago. They would have done their duty. They would have been refined. They would have been ready for a whole different world. But They blew it. They blew it. They assimilated into Egyptian culture. And their rate of decay was so great, Hashem says, they're not going to survive here. So we got to be some lumdus. We got to reconstruct what it means 400 years. We're not going to make the normal calculation. We're going to go backwards to lumdus in your favor in order to save you, because otherwise you're goners. It's not just enough to get out of Egypt to save yourself. You need oxygen. You got to get out of the fire. And then, but the patient is not breathing. He's not breathing. If we don't get a patient oxygen within 4 minutes, he's dead. We got to get some oxygen. Well, to get oxygen, it takes 90 days to get the oxygen. We don't have time. The same way Hashem said, we don't have time to let you stick around here in Egypt for 400 years. We got to get you out of here. We don't have time for 90 days to give you the Torah. I want you to make the calculation, the ratio of 210 to 400 versus 90 to 50. Maybe it's very close, very similar. We don't have time to wait 90 days. We got to get you to the mountain now. 50 days. The ki b'chipozon yotzosam mimitzrayim is the difference between 90 days and 50 days. But that comes with a consequence. What's the consequence? You weren't ready. You weren't prepared. You really needed 90 days. And if you... It's an emergency, okay? We have no choice. But because you weren't really ready, that's why there was the egel. You took it prematurely, you weren't fully prepared. What is 90 days from Yitzias Mitzrayim? The 15th day of Tammuz is, but that's only if the two previous months are mole, have 30 days. But if the two previous months are chaser, 29 days, a month is 29 and a half and a fraction, are 29 days, then what would have been 90 days from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Shiva Osar B'Tammuz.
If it's mole, that means it's later, right?
If it's mole, it would be, you cut down. If you take away 2 days, you're cutting out, it's now the beginning of the next month. If you take away, maybe I'm making a mistake, maybe you're right.
Mole is the other way around.
Mole is the other way around.
You're
adding
2 days.
If we would go 30, we're on the 15th day of Nisan. Fast forward 90 days. That takes the 15th day of Tammuz. Of Tammuz, correct?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Now.
Yeah.
That's all built upon the premise that the months that you there's a total of 90 days. There are 90 days.
30.
But if
they were only 29,
you still have 90 days. You still have 90 days, but the calendar pushes ahead by 1 day. So it's correct. Go on a calendar. The end of the month is not day 30, day 20, day 29 is the last day. So day 30 is already the next day of the next month. So you're pushing the calendar ahead by 1 day twice. If the end of Chodesh Nisan was Choser, and the end of Chodesh Siva of Iyar was Choser, if those 2 months only had 29 days, then on the calendar, 90 days from Yitzias Mitzrayim is Yud Zayin Teves. Tammuz, Yud Zayin Tammuz. Wow, look at that. And what happened on Yud Zayin Tammuz? The Torah was shattered. Aspasianus burnt the Sefer Torah. Yerushalayim, the Churban began. That's the Churban. It's not a coincidence that Shivasa B'Tammuz is Shivasa B'Tammuz. Shivasa B'Tammuz was meant to be the day of Kabbalas HaTorah. And instead of Shavasa B'Tammuz being the day of Kabbalah HaTorah, It was Shavira Saluchos. It was the Sreifa Satira. It was the Chorban of Klal Yisrael. You know why? Because we had to get you to that mountain, Bichipazon. Because if we didn't get you there by day 50, there wouldn't even be a Torah altogether. You would be goners. You would be finished. But there are consequences for taking shortcuts. And the consequences are, you got it, but you weren't ready for it. There was Chorban, but at least you got it. You'll repair the damage. It'll take you 3,000 years to repair the damage, but you'll be around in 3,000 years to repair the damage. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. And if we didn't do it this way, you wouldn't be around the next day. You would already be gone. So kibichi pozoin is not just going on yoim tes vav of Nisan. Kibichi pozoin means they were speeding in the desert. They were breaking all the laws. They were going high speed to get there within 50 days because that was the last moment where the neshamas could be receptive to receiving the Torah. It came with a price. The price was 40 days later, when it should have been the day of the real Matan Torah, it was Shvira Saluchos, and it started a process of reflecting that we really went out too early, we really weren't ready for it, we had no choice, and now we're going to need 3,000 years to fix everything up the way it should have been. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.